Welcome to Holistic Matters, the podcast that's designed to help you become the you that nature intended.
We're recording live from the 2019 American Association of Naturopathic Physicians annual meeting in Portland, Oregon. It's a great place to be because we have been able to meet a number of thought leaders, leading experts, and people with some great insight here. And with me is another great practitioner who is also attending, Dr. Simon Auger.
Yeah, hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Simon, thanks very much for joining us. So you are a chiropractic physician by training, mm-hmm. attending a naturopathic
yes.
association meeting. So
yes.
give us a little bit of background on that. I mean, one of the common things that I've always been impressed with with chiropractic and with naturopathic is that kind of foundational approach of holistic healthcare,
mm-hmm.
understanding
yes.
the total patient, and understanding
yes.
the dynamic of the total patient from things as important as spirituality, mindfulness, vitality,
mm-hmm.
are as important to chiropractic as it is to naturopath. Is that fair?
Yes. Holism or holistic perspective is through early chiropractic pioneers. You know, they always talk about life force and naturopathy obviously is very common. And, you know, my journey in the education in postgrad education has been in the United States, and what originally brought me up to Portland was the Portland Chiropractic College. And that chiropractic college used to graduate dual degrees, DC and ND,
yeah.
up until about the 50s. And a good friend of mine, who's also from England, he started the naturopathic college at the same time that I did, which is back in the early 90s in Portland. And when we went through the whole programs together, and at that time we got more nutrition in the chiropractic
right.
program as they did in the naturopathic program. And this is, you know, 25, 26, almost 30 years
yeah.
ago. So nutrition was rudimentary, but it was always an interest, and as was herbs,
yeah.
And the holistic nature, the idea of holism, looking at the sum of the parts is it's everything in there, so much greater than the individual parts,
right.
And so that brings me to an interest and an affinity for natural medicine.
Yes, yeah, fantastic. So you're in private practice now mm-hmm. in Portland, have your own
mm-hmm.
clinic,
mm-hmm.
and you also are the consulting practitioner to the Oregon Ballet
that's right.
Group,
that's
right?
Right?
So that's got to be a lot of fun to begin with.
And yes, that's my wife's revenge for being dragged around air shows.
Yeah.
20 years ago with me throughout the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
She was the one that was really behind that. She said, that's it. We're getting season tickets to the symphony and the ballet now because I'm tired of going to all these air shows.
Yeah.
And there I am sitting in the audience watching the ballet rep, the Oregon Ballet Theater dance. And it's amazing, you know, because I'm into, you know, physical expression and,
right.
and anatomy, physiology, and function and form. And there's these great shapes doing all sorts of amazing things.
Right.
And so one thing led to another, and we were invited to be part of a pilot to help the dancers reduce injuries.
Uh-huh.
And this is in the early, mid-2000s. And it led up to that position, this is my 13th or 14th season now with the dancers.
Yeah, fantastic.
And so it's great being able to help them because they don't have a lot of access to chiropractic care.
Yeah.
And it's a big part, the chiropractic and the physical therapy in
right.
maintaining and enhancing that performance.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us a little bit, and maybe, you know, working with I don't know, a ballet mm-hmm. dancer. It's actually a sports performance.
Yes, absolutely.
skill set. In my observation, anyway. But,
absolutely.
But I can't think of a better example to talk about holism and holistic care than that group of individuals. But it's very much very similar to any patient you'd see coming to see you every day.
Yes.
But talk to us a little bit about maybe using the ballet individual, ballet dancer, as an example mm-hmm. of a holistic approach to care. There's so many things that you have to worry about and that you can help them
yes.
with, I can imagine.
Well, first and foremost, John, is you have to realize that their schedule is absolutely rigorous.
Yeah.
And these people, these dancers are usually streamed anywhere from the age of 7 to 14 into the profession.
Right.
So many times when they're making it big and they get hired, they go from an apprentice, they make it to an apprentice at the
yeah,
company.
Yeah.
And that could be any company in the world. They've made the big time for them.
Right, right.
And they get to do their bar warm-up, and then they get class, usually starting at 10 o'clock, lunch break, and they're going through till 5:30.
Yeah.
This is going on and on, partnering, jumps, all sorts of technique,
right.
And relentless. And it's so hard on the body.
Yeah.
And they're such huge athletes.
Right.
And you know, I came from a background of soccer. So I was familiar with that sort of background, yeah. but I had no clue with dancers apart from yeah. my sports training that right. I had as a chiropractor. So how does holism fit in with the dancer? Well, you have a complete split. Once the dancer gets to about 26, mm-hmm. they get really interested in their health.
Yeah, right? It's about 20 years before anybody else in the normal population does, right? That's good.
And so those dancers in the mid-range to the older area, they're wanting to know, you know, what can I do to do this? What can I do to do this? What sort of recovery? Why do I get better recovery when I'm using whole food products on a regular basis? Mm-hmm. Why do I get better recovery managing other things that I can manage my cycle
right.
and stuff like that. So hugely beneficial, it's challenging. And I have the honor of being in there sometimes when they start and I see them as an apprentice coming up through the ranks.
Mm.
And I'm able to influence their health in such a positive way where they may not have got that if I hadn't been involved with the company.
Yeah, right.
And that's an honor to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. The interesting challenge of chiropractic care, particularly related to and talking about holism as an mm-hmm. extension of care,
yes.
is really, you know, you're dealing with muscular movements and
yes.
the central nervous system,
yes.
and trying to kind of optimize and even stabilize
yes.
that.
Yes.
So that takes a lot of resiliency, stress management, but also making sure that the human body can perform and respond.
Yes.
So what's your approach in doing that?
Well, rest and recovery is huge. We're always looking for balance because nearly all the problems we see, whether it's sports injuries or it's degenerative diseases, it's where the body's got out of balance and we can't stop it going down that road.
Right.
So it's going to compensate. And making sure we can get a good wake-sleep balance, right. making sure that we can ramp down the sympathetic nervous system.
Right.
You know, a lot of it's neurology. And
yeah,
it all comes
right.
back to working with the brain or different ways we can affect the autonomic nervous system, which is huge. And it's one of the things that permeates everything. You know, whether we've got someone who's a dancer or they're not a dancer, they're trying to get to a point where they got better balance, so they have more resilience, so their body can do what it's meant to do, recover and go again.
Right.
Or age appropriately.
Yeah, yeah. So you have a lot of tools in your toolbox. Just one of them is nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Before we talk about nutrition, mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about some of the other tools that you routinely use.
Yeah, so I like to say that our clinic's a mix of clinical innovation and scientific inquiry. So we'll use things like a heart rate variability
mm-hmm.
Unit for autonomic nervous system and cardiovascular assessment. We'll use blood work and lab work. We uh-huh. do extensive, that's one of the benefits of practicing in Oregon because we have a broader scope as chiropractors
right.
here where
right.
we can do blood work. And we also do saliva testing and stool testing when needed too. And we also use good, solid, physical examination skills, not just your standard orthopedic ones, but dynamic ways of evaluating the brain, different ways of evaluating reflexes and stuff like that on the body. So, and we even do some kinesiology in there too. So, balance of a lot of things that we bring to the table. But we're very big on functional rehabilitation. So as soon as we can get different functional exercises going, whether it's a movement pattern against resistance or whether it's a movement pattern trying to get the brain and the inner ear more coordinated for balance. So huge things. And you know, whether we're dealing with a dancer who is looking for a better experience in their totality and balance, because they're always looking for that, just as we are, you know, as practitioners, we're always looking to improve our game on that stuff and our integrity and delivery. Whether they're a dancer doing that or whether they're someone who's experiencing cognitive decline, and we're looking to try and reboot some things before they go too far the way to where we can't get to them. So very important.
Interesting. So you must see a full range of patients, you know, who are interested in maintaining their health status, making sure that they're staying healthy, but also those patients who need some kind of therapeutic intervention, and probably as adjunctive and even beyond chiropractic treatment regimen. So, kind of working backwards, let's talk about kind of natural product use and working backwards. Let's start with when do you use appropriately herbs, botanicals?
Great
question.
Are they
very targeted therapeutic issues that you're trying to solve for?
Well, it's a great question. First of all, as a practitioner, it's gaining a basic understanding of what to and what not to do with herbs.
Right.
And so respecting them, and if there's any interactions with any medications.
Right.
Or if there's any allergies. Like if you've got a patient that's allergic to the daisy family, and you give them black cohosh, something like that, they can have a fantastic reaction, meaning that they'll never see you again.
Not a good thing.
And it's few and far between, but you know, you have to, it's not just like this is natural, therefore it's, you know, you have to use it with integrity, and you have to make sure that you're when you're introducing herbs into the picture, that you can be mindful of what is the outcome, what is the appropriate expectation here. Are we looking for a symptomatic change within a couple of days? Are we looking for blood markers to change based on a part of a bigger treatment regime? And so is it a monotherapy or is it something else? Because many times, you know, we're using things that are not just monotherapies. We're doing a couple of things at the same time. And oftentimes if we did things as a monotherapy, maybe it would take too long to get through that course of treatment we did a monotherapy each time. But it would be good scientifically and clinically to see how do we do with just using this. Like the trials we see with different supplements that we see or different herbs, you know, they just do a monotherapy. This worked great. So so a lot of times when we're introducing herbs into the picture, we're making sure we're looking at balancing all of those things. So a lot of times they're really a monotherapy.
So that's an really an important insight that we probably don't spend enough time discussing as as practitioners in this category. Is that, you know, I guess it would be, you know, we wish we had the luxury of just doing monotherapy, you know, and you're going to take this and anywhere from, say, 3 days to 12 weeks later, you're going to get better. But the world's and the body is too complicated, which kind of gets back to the importance of understanding holistic total patients. And all the underlying systems that are connected and that influence one another, and that, that by doing one monotherapy, you risk throwing out of balance some other system. And that's as much as an art as it, as it is a scientific awareness. And you have both.
Well, it develops over time,
Yeah.
And one of the biggest challenges is supporting other doctors who are newer in the field to come up and say, yeah, you can do this. There is a balance, and there is a way to be successful at doing this too. With good outcomes that aren't taking a huge amount of time. Because you know, the hardest thing to see as a natural practitioner is someone who's made all this great progress, and they're, you know, one of your star standout success stories, and you, you use them as an example to inspire other patients and other doctors, and then you see someone. You have a colleague who was maybe a medical doctor, and they gave one medicine, and they got the same results. but at less expense.
Right, right.
And, you know, which was better.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Well,
and
I mean,
there's a place for everything,
yeah,
you know?
Right, right.
It's a balance.
Yeah, and that's I think, probably the risk that, you know, more and more consumers are beginning to realize, and they don't want to take the risk, is mm-hmm. is kind of like the monotherapy defined by mm-hmm. by the use of prescription meds. Mm-hmm. It goes, you know, after a symptomatic, you know, singular mechanism. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you may fix the symptom, but you're not fixing the system.
Yes.
Or maybe even making it worse.
Yes.
You won't know for a while.
Yeah, there's always a cause and effect, whether it's natural product
right.
or whether it's a herb. Just with a natural product, you've got a little more leeway.
Yeah, right.
And we know a medication is going to go, I'm going to do this in this pathway. And right. we know that from clinical trials. Yeah. Whereas when you're using either a whole food product or the whole plant extract or a bit of both, we know we're getting these synergistic effects that are both known and unknown.
Right, right.
And we don't know. It's like one of my staff members said to me the other day, there was a patient we had with some dystonia where the head drifts when they start reading, and it's a neurological thing. And we're doing nutrition, we're doing rehabilitative exercises, and we're doing some chiropractic care too. And all three of those, I'm changing the diet. And they got better in 5 weeks, and they've had this for months. But what made the difference?
Yeah, yeah, right. Right.
And I said, you know, honestly, I think it's everything we were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
They all complement each other.
It's total and holistic health.
And it's bringing those complementary things together in a way that doesn't overwhelm the patient to get a therapeutic outcome, and being able to stand back and say, you know, we don't know all the answers.
Yeah, right.
We do our clinical work to make sure that we can get the outcomes that we need.
Right.
And then we need to dig deep and say, what was that?
Right.
And that's where we have discussions.
So are there clinical guidelines that you refer to, or if you develop your own clinical protocols mm-hmm. that we can make available to practitioners so they have a greater comfort in using kind of multiple therapeutic approaches? It's difficult, right?
Yes.
Especially when you first get into it.
You
know it's important.
It's so hard when you first get into it because, you know, as a new practitioner, you're trying to get your practice down. So if you're a chiropractor, you're trying to learn how to adjust, deal with disc injuries and sciatic pain and complex auto injury cases
right.
or multiple sports injuries. And then you have to figure out, you know, do I like doing this?
Yeah, right.
And pretty much, I'd say there's a three-year rule for any practitioner. Once you've been in 3 years, you've probably made all the big mistakes.
Right.
You've got an idea of what to do and what not to do.
Yeah, right.
Most importantly, what not to do.
Right.
And then you can start growing from there. But I remember when I first started learning about herbs, it was so daunting
uh-huh.
because we got no herbal exposure in chiropractic college. We got some good basic nutrition. But again, it's basic. All those things are basic.
Yeah.
And it's the same for naturopaths coming out today. You know, they get a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then they go do their clinic rotation.
Right.
Maybe they do a year preceptorship. And then they're like, how am I going to make a living?
Yeah, you know? Right, right.
So,
right.
So
what would you suggest to practitioners who are listening? Where can they go and continue their advancement in education?
Well, you know, some of the best ones for me growing up as a practitioner was and we're all still growing, right? Look at the different seminar circuits, you know, because that's where I've got a lot of my, you know, somebody will be speaking on endocrinology.
Right.
Okay. Somebody, you know, how do you get a good understanding of functional endocrinology? Well, you start listening to people who have been doing it speaking about it.
Right. So find the expert and find a seminar.
And that helps.
Yeah.
And then you have accredited courses,
you
know, so a popular course is the Masters in Nutrition course, which is the University of Bridgeport, Connecticut, New York.
It's one at Western States, too,
here
in Portland.
Yeah, there's one at UW Western States, which I've been involved with since, I think, about 2016 now. But that is a fantastic... It's not just human nutrition, it's functional medicine.
Right.
So it's, they're looking at, you know, how can we improve the function, and we can track it with some blood tests.
Yeah.
Or we can track it with some outcome measures. It's not just I feel better, but we've got some clinical, you know, data.
Right.
We're like, yeah, that can go into the pool of data.
Right.
And maybe it was almost a monotherapy.
Yeah, gotta be careful.
Maybe it was just three things, or it was the magic elixir that came together. You know, so that's very important for younger or newer practitioners to be aware of that, and be aware of different reps from different companies, stuff yeah. like that, and be aware of who's doing what. And then there's the overwhelming thing of podcasts. Everybody has a podcast.
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier, and I've really enjoyed your podcast because
we get to see
the different aspects of people in the healing arts who are all doing wonderful things and very passionate, giving us a good kind of window into you can have integrity, you can have passion, but you can also have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And with clinical innovation.
Yeah.
Because it's a slog.
Yeah, right.
You know,
we all
know that.
Yeah,
you know.
Right,
so,
right.
Being able to bring that enthusiasm to new practitioners, and if they're feeling where they're plateauing. They need to find somebody and do that. So, that's important.
So, do you have a set of kind of what I would describe as foundational products, like go-to products, that you know whether they're classic
yes.
nutrition or herbal products, and by issue or condition, right? Because you know the problem
yes.
that I think
yes.
practitioners are faced with, it's not less of a problem, more of a challenge, I guess, is. Every time a new patient presents, it's a different solution. It's a different
yes.
set of problems.
Yes.
And it's like almost as if you're starting over every time, but you don't really have to be as long as you identify the
yeah.
underlying system.
There's a basic commonality.
Yeah.
We all have the same systems in the body.
Right.
And whether it's an intestinal system or it's a neurological system, whether it's a lung pathway or it's a GU issue or it's a skin issue, they're all linked. And the more you delve into clinical work, the more you see everything is related.
Right.
So you can think that you're working on the gut, but you can see not just the brain, but you also the skin improve
yeah.
because
yeah.
they're all related.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So when somebody is trying to figure out what do I do with this person in front of me. Who, you know, 20 years ago, it was like they'd fill out like a symptom survey and it'll all be endocrine.
Yeah.
It'll be low thyroid.
Yeah.
And the last 10, 15 years, last 10 years especially, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you've got you've got more anxiety and depression than we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
And guess what? They're all linked.
Yeah.
You know, so we always start with blood sugar.
Yeah.
You always start with a blood sugar balance because once you balance the blood sugar, you balance the cortisol.
Yeah.
Once you balance the cortisol, you've got a deeper sleep.
Right.
Once you try to encourage them to get some kind of exercise, even if it's just walking,
yeah.
and even if it's just 10 minutes at lunchtime,
yeah.
you're winning because you're getting them back into that thing. And once they buy into that, then they're on your side.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the biggest thing I would say is don't overwhelm them and don't overcomplicate things.
Right.
Look at the systems. Look at the foundations. You know, we developed the 5 steps to health and I teach that too. It's like this is. We have 5 steps. Symptom. Get rid of the symptoms first, which is all inflammation.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So let's focus on different ways to get down inflammation. And maybe that's 3 products.
Right.
Maybe it's 2 products. Maybe it's changing the diet and just getting a couple of products to help inflammation come down.
Yeah.
And then you can layer it, you know, as they start right. making progress. And then you look at correction and strengthening.
Yeah.
And in reality, the average person in the street wants to get out symptom-free. They don't so much care about correction and strengthening.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Those that are educated enough or in full, they're in both feet,
right.
they want to do the correction and strengthening.
Yeah.
And then you get them through that,
yeah.
and then you can look at other things, you know, neurological stuff, brain, right. you know, neurodegeneration stuff, life repair.
Yeah, right.
And then supportive care,
right.
of
awesome.
Course.
So patient education, mm-hmm. you're kind of really kind of alluding to, is really critical.
Yes.
So five steps
yes.
That you just described,
yeah.
is that part of your patient education so
yes.
they understand?
Absolutely. We have that in every single room.
Yeah.
This is where you are. This is where you can get to. Where are you in the process?
Yeah.
Because we have people say, they'll call up and say, I want to do better.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
Can
right.
you help me?
Yeah.
Well, come in and let's give you an exam and see.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, right, right.
And so, or if you've got someone who's an athlete, you know,
right.
completely different demands.
Yeah.
Or an exec.
Yeah.
Jetting all over the world interviewing people, right?
Yeah, right, right, right.
Different set of stresses.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes there are some individual things, you know, like for example, Chase Tree for travel, for modulating
right.
the melatonin.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. So what excites you about our current state of health and health delivery these days?
Well,
what do you see on the horizon that really gets you excited?
What excites me is that whether you're in the allopathic field or you're in the natural field, there's people trying to make a difference.
Yeah.
And what excites me is that modern technology is getting more away from corporately sponsored TV ads. So now, that's not to say if you're on YouTube, you're not going to get a whole bunch of ads coming up about meds, but by people working kind of round the back, as I would call it, without Big Pharma putting ads in everywhere, we can actually get more education to the kids when they're teenagers, you know, and because the kids are all over this stuff 24/7, aren't they?
Social media, and they
resonate with like save the world, because most kids want to save the world, right?
Maybe
I'm rose-tinted glasses, but I think that sort of education, you know, those sort of forums are important, and you know, the hardest time we have as professionals who are busy is how do we integrate that new information into our own consciousness and into our clinics. So that's where it helps, you know, talking with other practitioners. And also having interns, you know, so the interns give me a lot of feedback, so that's helpful.
Fantastic. So I got a couple of questions for you. Let's dive into kind of more of the personal side of your life. Just a couple of quick, brief questions here. Where can you catch better soccer? Is it in the UK, Europe, or in Portland and Seattle?
You know, this is terrible. This is awful, and it doesn't speak well for the UK. But we can see every single Premier League match in the US, and you cannot, to save your life, see it on regular TV in the UK. So that's just one of those things, you know. Yeah. That's a good place to see it, and the MLS is definitely coming up a little bit. It's not quite. You know, it's more championship level than everything else.
But
it's made huge. So when I first came to the States on a British University's North America club exchange in 1990, when I just finished my undergraduate, and I was going to teach kids how to help them play soccer in a sports camp, and soccer was rated the number 85th sport in popularity in the United States.
I believe it.
You know what was number 84? Log rolling.
Really?
I didn't even know what that was. I had to look it up, and it's like those guys like cartoons. So
that's why you stay in the Northwest. You can log roll and play soccer. Awesome.
So and then, you know, fast forward to now where it's like number 4 or number 3.
Oh, that high already.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely huge. And the Timbers are a good. Actually, I'll go and see them tomorrow.
Yeah.
But So you can catch on your TV.
Fantastic.
You can catch it.
Sorry, are you a foodie at all? Or
am I a foodie?
Great restaurants
in
Portland.
I have some good friends, and my wife definitely as a foodie. But I know your angle. You're coming on here because you're thinking, where am I going to eat tomorrow?
What do you prefer, bangers or beans or both? Bangers and beans.
You know, I love good Indian food.
Yeah.
And that's hard to find here in the United States, coming from England, where it's endemic. And I also love good Cretan Mediterranean food.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm so, you know, Eleni's place for me in Portland is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
India House, it's a good place to go to.
Fantastic.
Good places, but... good stuff there. And I also like the fact that a lot of the herbs you end up using are mostly Indian,
too.
I'm getting more into the culinary thing and just seeing Alison's stuff, Three Sons and a Chef.
Yeah, right.
And also finding out he's from Newcastle. So it's like, I've got another one of my crew in North America.
Right.
So
funny.
Very exciting.
Well, thanks very much. It's a pleasure to run into a chiropractor attending a naturopathic association meetings, and I know that we see naturopathic physicians attend chiropractic meetings. So, so we got to get those people who do both on the broadcast here. So, Dr. Simon Auger, thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here at this convention, and thanks for sharing some of your insights on the Holistic Matters podcast, the podcast designed to help you become the you that nature intended. We're broadcasting live and closing the AANP show today. And thanks very much.
Thank you, Joe.
This podcast features the song New Day by Lee Rosevere, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. If you liked this podcast, please share with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We'll see you next time on Holistic Matters, where we are talking about how to be the you nature intended.